Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. B. Richard Ferguson.
When James calls us to be devoted to prayer, he uses Elijah as an example to inspire us. But is that really inspiring? Of course a spiritual giant like Elijah can have spectacular results in prayer, but what about a regular person like me? James could have picked Joshua as an example, or countless other examples in Scripture, but the one he picked instead, he chose Elijah. James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, and then he's going to explain that. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. The reason it did not rain for 3.5 years is because of Elijah's prayers being powerful and effective. And then the reason that drought came to an end at the end of those 3.5 years was because Elijah's prayers were powerful and effective. And that's James' example to us about how our prayers are powerful and effective. Now, is that encouraging to you? It might not be at first, because Elijah seems like such an unreal figure, right? I mean, who can relate to Elijah? You ever thought of yourselves as, you know, I'm a real Elijah. That's just kind of how I am. I've never heard of him. He's just this legendary figure that lived thousands of years ago and might be... He might be the most unusual, exceptional figure in the whole Old Testament. The final promise of the Old Testament was that the Messiah's forerunner would come in the spirit and power of Elijah. That's an unusual guy. That's an outstanding guy, right? He's the granddaddy of all the prophets. He's like the greatest one. He performed miracles. God spoke to him directly with word-for-word messages. He's one of two men who never died. He stood on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Jesus. I mean, this guy, he's just not your average Joe guy in the church. He's doing all these things. I mean, his prayers, he's raising the dead. He's calling down fire from heaven. He's going up in a whirlwind. And meanwhile, I show up to church with one blue sock and one black sock, you know? And I'm just like, how can I relate? How can I be in his category? How can a weak, forgetful, distracted, discouraged klutz like me be encouraged by reading about the power of the prayers of a guy like Elijah? I mean, this almost mythical ancient figure in history. Elijah was a Jewish superhero. When Jesus said something on the cross and they didn't quite get it, they said, he must be calling Elijah to come save him. I mean, that's the way they thought about Elijah. The Jews developed all kinds of exaggerated legends around Elijah, ascribing superhuman traits to him. And what James is saying here in this passage is, no, that's wrong. He wasn't superhuman. He was a man just like us. Just like us. Literally, it says he was a man of like passions. He had the same fat passions and same feelings and weaknesses that we have. If you think that Elijah was an exceptional case when it comes to prayer, you got to think again. He was not an exceptional case. What he did is accessible to us. What he did is accessible to us. What is it? Think for a minute. What is it about you that makes prayer so hard for you? What makes prayer hard? Is it that you find it difficult to keep speaking to an invisible God that you can't see, you can't hear, you can't touch, he doesn't talk back verbally, and your mind gets distracted? Is that part of what makes it hard? Yeah, I'm like, Elijah wrestled with the same problem. He had the same problem. Being distracted. Why? Because he was a human being. Alexander the Great once said that any person who could concentrate on one thing for 3 minutes straight could conquer the world. And he's actually knows what he's talking about when it comes to conquering the world. Most people aren't very good at that. He was. He did it by age 20. The point of that is someone as great as Alexander the Great, someone as successful as that, tries to think of a really long period of time to concentrate on something without getting distracted, he chose 3 minutes. Why? Because no matter how great you are, that's a long time to go without being distracted. Because we're human beings. And Elijah was also a human being. He got distracted. What about laziness? Do you struggle with prayer just simply because you struggle to do hard things? Because you really like comfort and rest and not doing hard things? Well, if that's you, welcome to the human race. Every one of us is like that. Every human being likes comfort and rest, and Elijah was a human being. He liked comfort and rest. It was hard for him to get himself to do hard things. That's why they call him hard things. Are you busy? You got an important job that demands a lot of your time, a lot of your attention, a lot of your energy? So did he. What about discouragement? Are you the type that gets discouraged? I mean, you're subject to that. Do you sometimes get so weighed down with the circumstances of life and the troubles of life that you find yourself falling into discouragement or even into despair sometimes? You're sounding more and more like Elijah all the time. When he ran for his life from Jezebel, he went, I wish we had time to read all three of these chapters, but when he ran away from Jezebel, he ran 90 miles down south to Beersheba. That's like, imagine yourself escaping from here on foot down to the south end of Colorado Springs. And 1 Kings 19:3 says, when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, and while he himself went another day's journey into the desert, and he came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. And then he laid down under the tree and fell asleep. He's discouraged. I'm so tired. I'm so sick of this. I don't want to be a prophet anymore. I don't even want to be alive anymore. Just take me home, God. You wouldn't believe how many mental disorders Elijah gets diagnosed with by commentators at this point. Though I got to tell you, those people that do that couldn't be farther off base. You don't have to have a psychological disorder to want to die. All you have to do is become discouraged to the point of despair. They're trying to kill him. Okay, the most powerful people in the nation, the queen and the king, are trying to kill him. And worse than that, his ministry is a total failure, seemingly. 3.5 years of drought, fire from heaven, burning up the sacrifices in front of the prophets of Baal. Then the mercy of God coming and ending the drought, sending rain, all of that, zero effect on the leaders of Israel. No effect. If all that didn't work, what's going to work? What's going to get through to these people? What hope is there? Elijah's whole life work is a total failure. It's not going anywhere. And he just wanted to end it all. He just wanted to die. That's not a mental disease, folks. That's normal. That's normal. Be honest. How many of you, at some time of overwhelming discouragement, had a moment when you wanted to die? I have. That's normal. Elijah was subject to discouragement, and he was subject to exhaustion. I mean, it sounds to me from this account like he just basically what happened was he just collapsed in fatigue. Look at verse 4, 1 Kings 19:4. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. And then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. And suddenly an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. And he ate and drank, verse 6, and then he lay down again. And verse 7, the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. And so he got up and ate and drank, and strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days. So he just collapses, and so he just goes to sleep. God finally wakes him up, feeds him. He goes right back to sleep. And then after a while, he wakes him up again, feeds him again. You're thinking, you know, if you've got teenagers, you're like, oh yeah, I know all about that. That's like the normal schedule. Constant sleep, you wake up to eat, you go right back to sleep. But for a regular adult, if you do that, if you just do nothing, you just sleep, 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 eat, sleep, 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 your friends are going to worry about you a little bit, right? You got to be pretty exhausted to get to that point. I think everything just caught up to Elijah. See, Elijah knew what it was like to be so discouraged and so tired, just tired. So beaten down, both physically and mentally, that you just feel like you can't go on. Elijah was also subject to loneliness. Three different times he mentions that. Three different times in 1 Kings 18 and 19, he brings up the fact that he's the only one, the only prophet of the Lord that's doing this work. I mean, yeah, there's other prophets hiding in caves, but there's nobody out in the public just doing this work, standing up against the king and queen and the prophets of Baal. He's on his own. And when that happens, when you've got a really hard job, a thankless job, the kind of a negative kind of job, like nobody appreciates you kind of job, like he did, and nobody will step up and help you. They're all in caves somewhere. No one will step up and help. That gets pretty lonely pretty fast. It wasn't easy for him being the only one. So all that to show you that Elijah wasn't some superhuman freak of nature that just found it easy to pray. And that's why he got amazing results in his prayers, because he didn't have to deal with the same roadblocks that you have to deal with in your prayers. No. He was weak like us. And so here's the point of that. Having a powerful prayer life does not require you to be powerful. Okay? That's something worth jotting down. Having a powerful prayer life does not require you to be powerful. Please understand this. James is not making the point that we are like Elijah. It's not what he's saying. He's not saying we're like Elijah. He's not saying, look, don't sell yourself short. You're just as powerful as Elijah. You got to understand that. You're just as good as Elijah. No, it's the other way around. He's not saying we're like Elijah. He's saying Elijah was like us. He's saying don't overestimate Elijah. He had the same problems with prayer that you have. Nevertheless, God still responded to his prayers in mighty, awesome ways. The point isn't that we can aspire to the same level of greatness of Elijah that he achieved. It's that God has shown that he's able and willing to do some awesome, great, powerful, mighty things through someone as weak and frail and messed up as us. The power of prayer comes from God, not from us. It comes from God. Prayer is weakness leaning on omnipotence. That's what it is. That's why it's powerful and effective, because it's weakness leaning on omnipotence.
You don't have to be strong to have powerful prayers. But when I hear that, my question is, then why aren't my prayers more powerful? I mean, I'm as weak as can be, but my prayers aren't getting the results that Elijah got. So what's missing? We'll get into that question next time, looking into the ingredients for powerful prayer. But for now, spend today just considering the fact that really, really powerful prayer is available to you and accessible to you, even given all your weaknesses and shortfalls. Whatever it is about you that is a hindrance to prayer, that doesn't have to keep you from powerful prayer. Even people who are an emotional mess like Elijah, even if you're weak, distracted, busy, tired, whatever your problems, really powerful prayer is available and accessible to you. As many times as you can today, remind yourself of that. Forgive me, Lord, for all my excuses. If you call me to be devoted to prayer, then I could be devoted to prayer. You don't require the impossible, or even the unreasonable. If you call me to do it, I can do it. Call me to prayer again and again through the day today, Lord. By your Spirit, move in my heart to seek you in the morning as soon as I wake up. Remind me to express gratitude to you every time I enjoy anything, especially food or drink, but also rest. Comfort, beauty, fun, relationships, productivity, the creation, ministry. Help me to turn all my pleasures into thanksgiving, and help me turn every anxiety into seeking grace from you. The form of grace I'll need to handle that challenge. Help me to pray expectantly for that grace, so I'll look forward to receiving it. Help me to turn every sorrow into a lament offered to you, a lament that increases my hunger and thirst for you. Help me turn every complaint I have about people into a prayer for them. Help me turn every enjoyment of people into thanksgiving for them. Make my whole existence one long act of engagement with you from sun up to sundown and all through the watches of the night.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, get our free mobile app. Install the Church One app from the Play Store and select Food for Your Soul. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.